Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. I know I said that every time, but I want to say it because sometimes new listeners are listening and just want to introduce myself to them. So let's take a look at the Wednesday readings today, the sixth week of Easter. Remember, this is of Easter. Easter goes on for quite a while. It isn't just one day. Oh yeah, back when we had Easter. We're having Easter, and it's continuing. So let's take a look at the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, verses 15, and then 22, and then chapter 18, verse 1. After Paul's escorts had taken him to Athens, they came away with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. Then Paul stood up at the Areopagus and said, "You Athenians, I see that in every respect you are very religious, for as I walked around looking carefully at your shrines, I even discovered an altar inscribed to an unknown god. What therefore you unknowingly worship, I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all that is in it, the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in sanctuaries made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, because he needs anything. Rather, it is he who gives to everyone life and breath and everything. He made from one the whole human race to dwell on the entire surface of the earth, and he fixed the ordered seasons and the boundaries of their regions so that people might seek God, even perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since, therefore, we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divinity is like an image fashioned from gold, silver, or stone by human art and imagination. God has overlooked the times of ignorance, but now he demands that all people everywhere repent, because he has established a day on which he will judge the world with justice through a man he has appointed, and he has provided confirmation for all by raising him from the dead." When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some began to scoff, but others said, "We should like to hear you on this some other time." And so Paul left them. But some did join him and became believers. Among them were Dionysius, a member of the court of the Areopagus, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. After this, he left Athens and went to Corinth. These are all the things that have passed and have happened so many years, centuries from us. But brothers and sisters, God is not that far away from us. He's right here through his word. That's why we treat the scriptures so carefully, because God's word is a living word. It teaches us. It can change us if we're open to it. If we just sit and read a few verses and say, "Nothing changed," nothing will change. But if we come to the Lord and say, "Lord, teach me, will you help me?" And keep doing it for a few days, you begin to know how near God is through his word. Many times what you're actually reading is exactly the word he wants you to hear. So pay attention. Psalm 148 says, "Heaven and earth are full of your glory." Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all you his angels. Praise him, all you his hosts. Let the kings of the earth and all peoples, the princes and all the judges of the earth, young men too and maidens, old men and boys, praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has lifted up the horn of his people. Be this his praise from all his faithful ones, from the children of Israel, the people close to him. God wants us to draw close to him, to honor him, to listen to him. Brothers and sisters, do you do that? Do you listen? You say, well, I read this part of scripture, and that's wonderful. But did you ever stop to just listen? Now, I don't mean listen for voices. It might be a thought in your head, or it might come through something you pick up and read. It can come in all kinds of ways that God will speak to us. Maybe we have questions about this. Ask your parish priest, please. He would love a kind of question like that. Please come to him with your questions. And now we take a look at the Gospel of John, chapter 16. This is a short gospel, but it's packed. Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Brothers and sisters, we need to read the scriptures. We need, just as the disciples did, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, give us the story of Jesus being on this earth and what he taught us. And if you don't regularly read the Bible, please begin. Start with Matthew and Mark, Luke, and then John. Read them in that order. You'll see different things they emphasize because they're different people, but you get the fullness of the gospel when you've read slowly all four gospels. You will begin to understand. God so loves us, brothers and sisters. Look that these words from back in how many thousands of years ago, these words have come to us. My goodness. You know, when I go to read the Bible, I kiss it. I kiss it before I open it. That's a habit you might want to take, men and women. It's a sign of honor. It's a sign of love. It's a sign of care. He loves us. We want to love him. And we can by following his word. Brothers and sisters, he loves us more than we could imagine. Do you know that? He really does. He loves us more than we can imagine. There's an article by St. Bede the Venerable. He is a great man. He was an English Benedictine monk. He was a biblical scholar, and he was the first English historian. Think of that. He was the first. And he says this, I would like to say something concerning the solemnity of Pentecost, which we are soon observing. just as we celebrated a 40-day observance of fasting, as the Easter solemnity was approaching, so now that it is over, we carry out with joyful devotion the commemoration of Pentecost for the sake of indicating a definite mystery. For since Holy Church in some of her members is still struggling on earth for eternal rest, but in others who have ended all their struggle, she now reigns with Christ in heaven, our forebears established these twin solemnities as memorials of the two types of life. There are the 40 days of Lent with their affliction and fasting before the period of commemoration of our Lord's resurrection and the joy of Easter, that through them they might call us to remember more often than it is through struggles and continence, through watchings and prayers, and through the rest of the armor of justice, which the Apostle mentions, that we must come into possession of the rewards of eternal life. At the same time, our forebears wanted us to be renowned for the joys of commemoration of Pentecost, for its joys and praises, rather than for fasting. Thus, we might be prompted in a pleasing way by this annual festive celebration to enkindle our desire always to obtain and hold fast to festal times that are not annual, but uninterrupted, not earthly, but heavenly. Our true bliss is to be sought not in the present time of our mortality, but in the eternity of our future incorruption, the solemnity where, after all our anguish has ceased, our life will be led totally in the vision and the praise of God. Brothers and sisters, how much God loves us. This comes from Saint Bede the Venerable. Brothers and sisters, just think that there are people who've gone before us who've, in a sense, taught us the way to go. And if you don't read the scriptures, how are you going to hear that? Believe me, brothers and sisters, we will live forever. You and I, all of us, your husband, your wife, your children, whatever that may be, you're all going to live forever. The question is where? That's the important thing, the most important thing. Jesus wants us to live with him forever. Are we living life like there's no hope for me? There's hope for every person. Simply repent, go to confession, ask for God's grace, and he will give it to you. May God abundantly bless you.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.